Hey there, Ben Kissel here for Last Podcast Network. I want to tell you about my show, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. For more than 9 years, Marcus and I have strived to present you with the most accurate and honest political podcast out there. In these turbulent times, it's our intention to unite the country with impassioned debate that reaches out to the rational Americans who find their voices more muffled every day. Every week, I use my political science background, my experience running for office, along with my lifelong passion to stand up for the downtrodden, the wrongfully accused, and the invisible man and woman to bring you news like you haven't heard before. Let's face it, traditional news has failed us. We promise to always tell you the truth the best we see it, and I personally guarantee to not be swayed by hyperpartisanship, but be guided by facts. To listen, search Abe Lincoln's Top Hat on any podcast platform or go to lastpodcastnetwork.com and find it under shows. Hail yourselves, everyone!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Thing is that I know how I could fix California, man.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to do that?
There's straight up a haze everywhere. It's fucking gnarly. And not like a cool haze. Not like an old Cheech and Chong, what they were was going to hope in happen to Los Angeles.
Yeah, because of the horrible fires.
But you know what we got to do, man? Get a bunch of mirrors. Because it's all done by the government. Directed energy weapons. This is coming from the fucking skies in order to make the leading liberal elite afraid of placing their vacation from their vacation homes. Because you know what? Sometimes when you're on vacation, you're like, like this is just so intense already just like being on vacation. I need like a vacation from my vacation. These are the homes that are being affected.
Not really, but okay, everyone. This is Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel, Henry Zebrowski. You'll also hear Travis Morningstar occasionally piping in here. I do want to say this. Yes.
It's the deadliest wildfire in history, and the U.S. government is microwaving us.
I don't think it's the U.S. government. If anything, it's smokers. As we talked about before the show, cigarette butts cause a lot of forest fires. That's why I propose today bringing smoking back to malls.
This
Once
is what
you
I'm saying, man.
The smokers out of the malls, they're going to the streets, flicking cigarette butts everywhere.
We're pushing them to the forests. It is the social stigma. Allow them to smoke, but you know what we should do maybe? People should wear big sort of like plastic bubbles from their waist all the way around if you want to smoke. And then you can smoke inside of it and you keep other people from breathing the smoke. And then you get extra, extra nicotine.
I don't know if plastic would be the best fabric for that because it seems like it might melt and then those people would have a really hard sort of life for the rest of their existence. But in all seriousness, this fire in California, hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced. And obviously the celebrities get quite a bit of coverage, such as Miley Cyrus and also Neil Young. His Malibu home has burnt down, but they're going to be fine. Will Smith is going to be fine.
We have to think. We cannot make Neil Young more sad right now.
No,
I can't have another suicide.
No, absolutely not. But our hearts are with the hundreds of thousands of people where they can't afford to go to another house, and it's just absolutely devastating. So if you want to give a little help, you can go to disaster@calfund, that's calfund.org, or give them a ring at 213-413-4130 and donate some cash because the people out in California, where Henry resides, I just saw some of that footage and it is completely and utterly brutal. So our hearts are with you and wishing everybody the best and hopefully it doesn't get any worse than this, but it doesn't seem like it's ending anytime soon. So we'll
see. I don't really like the attack saying that I wasn't serious in the beginning.
You were. I know. All right. I apologize. Also, RIP Stan Lee. Stan Lee is at 95 years old.
Gone too soon.
I think he was.
He was so beautiful. I can't believe we'd lose an angel like that.
He was. What is wrong with you? You soulless monster. When I saw that news, that was devastating.
I think that he did wonderful things.
What happened to,
for
see,
us?
You got married, and somehow you're worse.
No, I'm very sensitive. We saw three stray dogs over by a Joshua Tree last night, and I almost took all of them.
Okay.
Because I didn't want them, because I couldn't bear it. It was very intense. But the problem is, all right, Stan Lee, very inspirational.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was awesome.
I saw him once. I almost walked into him. C2E2 in Chicago. I almost walked, chest bumped into him because I was, wasn't paying attention. Uh-huh. And then he's a very, very frail. I think probably his nurse farted too loud and he went to sleep.
I have no idea what happened.
There are a lot of cartoons and newspapers where Stan Lee's in heaven. And, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea of heaven. But
it's just for
Stan,
people who are alive.
Stan Lee spent his entire life creating false idols. So is he going to heaven?
Oh, my God. All right. Stan Lee created some heroes that helped a lot of kids who were feeling depressed, who were getting bullied. And they said, you know what? If Spider-Man can overcome, if Peter Parker can overcome.
He had superpowers.
He got bit by a radioactive spider. He was a normal person. He also wanted to care for his aunt. And is Mary Jane ever going to love him? He had a lot of real life issues.
Mary Jane did love him. And then they got divorced in the comic books.
Yeah, whatever. But they loved. And it was hard to find.
But you know what it is, Stan Lee, too, is that he aggregated a lot of content. Like he did end up taking quite a bit of credit for the creations that were done under his employ. But he entertainment would not be the same if it wasn't for Stan Lee.
Yes.
Because you need barkers, man. You need people to shift those units.
All right, everyone. Well, let's get back in here. Joe Exotic. Let's start talking about Zookeeper Joe Exotic. He's back in the news. Of course, you all remember him. He had a murder for hire plot. And he was also running for governor. Those things you can do both of those things at the same time. Back in the news for all the wrong reasons, former Oklahoma zookeeper and candidate for governor, already accused in the murder for hire plot, has been indicted on 19 new counts of accusing him of killing tigers and selling tiger cubs. A federal grand jury unsealed the charges Wednesday against the 55-year-old Joseph Maldonado Passage, who's also known as Joe Exotic, which, of course, you just change your name to Joe Exotic if your last name is actually Maldonado Passage. Exotic is a hell of a lot easier to say, and dare I say, it's kind of fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. Joe Exotic was indicted in September for allegedly trying to hire someone to kill the operator of a Florida-based animal sanctuary. Carol Baskin, CEO of Tampa's Big Cat Rescue, claimed she was targeted. He pleaded not guilty. But now we got the new charges. Accuse him of killing 5 tigers in October of 2017 and offering to sell cubs in violation of the Endangered Species Act. He's in trouble.
Well, I just don't understand. So all of this is like... So now this is real. He definitely is abusing these tigers and he's selling these cubs.
Well, he killed 5 of them to sell the cubs, which I don't know why you can't keep them alive and then also sell the cubs, but that's what happened here. So Joe Exotic, I mean, he seemed like a man of the people during his campaign ad.
He had a beautiful voice. But then I also heard it was disputed that he wasn't even singing in that video.
I heard it was possible that he was not singing in that video, but who would be the secret voice behind Joe Exotic? How sad is that person's life?
No.
I'm just going to say I think it was Mr. Exotic.
Chris Gaines. Because Chris Gaines,
but that's,
he can
but
pop up anywhere.
That's Garth.
No,
that's
it's Garth not. Brooks. No, it's not. It's 2 different people. Yeah, if you really think about it, if you really, really think about it, because you can imagine that Garth Brooks' own family wonders when Chris Gaines will come home. And they sit there because they remember there was a period of time in the 90s when Chris Gaines was around. He was daddy. They were eating pizza for breakfast. They were having Malamars for dinner. Because Chris Gaines doesn't give a F.
Chris Gaines, I don't know if that's actually true. I think Garth Brooks didn't give an F. Chris Gaines was like his sad goth counterpart.
Sexy.
I don't think that they got to eat pizza rolls for breakfast. I think they got like really, really sad, like, I don't know, maybe avocado toast, but not good.
Avocado toast is good for you. I will say this, goth daddies, all they care about is you not getting too much sun. For the rest
that
of the time, like, you can eat whatever. You can eat whatever as long as it's on commemorative Halloween plates with all of the Halloween decorations still up, like this. Like
right.
We talked about last week where we allow people to celebrate Christmas forever. These are people that can celebrate Halloween forever, and essentially they dress up their kids like Frankenstein 5 or 6 times a week.
Not so bad. The Addams Family was one of the more loving families in cinema history, so I think that could work. It is funny though that Garth Brooks. Usually when someone does an alter ego, their alter ego, like what is Beyonce, doesn't she call herself Sasha Fierce?
Yeah.
So she's Beyonce in the boardroom, and then she hits the stage, and she's Sasha Fierce. Garth Brooks is the crazier part of the Garth Brooks-Chris Gaines connection.
He is.
Which is so weird that he was like, this Garth Brooks character, I am getting a little out of hand. I need to tone it down, start covering my eyes with my hair.
There's a shadow entity, and then there's the sun entity. All right, Chris Gaines is the shadow entity of the extrovert. It's the extrovert. And then it really comes down to the question is who's the real Garth Brooks? Is it Chris Gaines, who's truly brooding, sensual, sitting and right. wondering lies within the shadows. Or is Garth Brooks the son, the man of all people, the man about town, the mayor of the guitar? Which is what I think I've heard him call himself, because everybody really? Has these. Everyone has these differences. But when it comes to Joe Exotic, who is the real Joe Exotic? We've been covering this guy right. now for like fucking 2 months. And so now we know for a fact he attempted to put a hit out on somebody, which we still yes. is still kind of in a legal gray area.
We've well, heard he did put the hit. Yeah, he definitely did put the hit out. He attempted to have the hit finished.
Yes, but then he's been sort of semi-accused of the murder of his husband?
Yes, that's correct. The murder of his husband. That He's also been accused of that.
How is his campaign going?
I think the campaign is dead now. I think that's been murdered as well.
So he made the jump from being a politician to just straight up celebrity. He's living the dream. He's doing...
Yeah,
that's what Beto wants.
Right. Yeah. He really, I mean, hopefully Beto doesn't have the criminal record now.
I hope
he's going through some depression and just starts killing animal cubs. But yeah, I mean, Joe Exotic, a hell of a life. That's going to be a really full tombstone.
It's going to be a full tombstone.
That's for sure.
But when he dies of the, I mean, honestly, you could see he's a smoker. He's going to get throat cancer. So that casket's going to be very light.
It could be. Yes, it could be. And again, if you're struggling with smoking, try the Juul. That's what I was
saying. No, anyway. Juul just got shut down. Juul's getting shut down because they're taking all their various flavors out of the stores, and they're actually being told to back off of social media advertisement because it is obviously for children.
Yes. Well, that's the major problem. I have a couple of friends who didn't smoke, and they just started smoking the e-cigarettes, which is, you know, this is how big tobacco gets you. They always find another way to monetize their product. In this
case, dude, well, fucking Miller's buying into the weed game, too.
Miller beer?
Yeah.
They're going to get weed beer?
No, well, they want to start it. There is already weed beer.
Really?
Yeah,
see, buddy. I don't know if that needs to be a combo.
I mean, I'm already making it a combo, so I don't really need it all meshed up together. It'd be right. like going to McDonald's and being like, just put the burger and the fries and the shake in the shake machine and make it all soft and liquidy so I can just pour it in my turtle-like mouth.
I don't know how that would taste. Yeah, weed beer, it sounds actually like the equivalent of Chris Gaines actually having sex with Garth Brooks. Like, it's just too, like, I don't know if that needs to be together.
It would be beautiful. Now, this was... I mean, it is all over the news. I'm getting blasted with it. Blasted with it. My fucking chin and eyelids are just covered in this story. It is a UFO has been seen over Ireland, and it is making some heat because it just showed up in the Washington Post. That's how you know this shit, I guess, is for real, as it gets all the way over here. And yes, they sort of pedantically covered the UFO scene as well, which is, of course, they have to, because why not take a shot at the vulnerable? But pilots saw a very bright UFO streaking over Ireland. If it wasn't aliens, what was it? This is from the Washington Post. Basically, what they said is that British Airways pilot was operating flight BA94 from Montreal on Friday when she contacted the nearest air traffic controller tower to inquire whether there were any military exercises over the Atlantic Ocean to which she had not been alerted, according to the Irish Examiner. When controllers told her that the skies were clear, she politely set them straight. She said that she and her crew saw two bright lights streaking through the air at phenomenal speeds, twice the speed of sound. It came up on our left-hand side, rapidly veered to the north. We saw a bright light, and it just disappeared at a very high speed. We were just wondering, the pilot said, according to the newspaper and audio of the interaction posted on the internet, which we're going to play for you right now.
All right, let's do this. Now, if you are confused by what you're hearing, you're just like me. It is really difficult to understand the accents because they're, you know, we hear Irish, but we don't, like, usually when the Irish are talking to us, they try to be, like, as clear as possible, knowing that there's a small dialect difference. But this is the Irish at work. So they get all of this.
What I will say about this footage, it's very interesting. What I love about this kind of stuff is, and I think we've even shown footage like this in our live show, is that I love hearing air traffic controllers say they're the ones hearing, and it's not just fucking Tammy from Boggs Creek.
It's nice to
have some fucking, like, full-on, like, these are legit. These people watch the skies 24/7.
It's got to be exhausting.
There's nothing showing on either primary or secondary.
Okay, it was moving so fast, in fact, you can no longer see it, but yes, thank you.
Along the side of you?
get to come up on our left-hand side and then rapidly veer to the north. We saw bright light and then it just disappeared at a very high speed. And we were just wondering. We didn't think it was a likely collision course. We're just wondering what that could have been.
Now, you're going to see here, what happens here in this next bit of footage is that we have another pilot calling in saying that we saw the bright lights as well. You ready to play this?
Two pilots. And just to clarify there, at the end, she was saying it wasn't on a collision course. So this alien wasn't, or this UFO wasn't trying to take him out.
Well, she saw
it coming. It was just like cruising along.
She said the same thing. She saw it coming, and then it veered up at Mach 2, which they believe it looked around Mach 2, which is double the speed of sound.
The Virgin 7-6 also saw that in our 11 o'clock position. Two bright lights.
Say again?
See?
Virgin 7-6. I saw two bright lights, 11 o'clock, seem to back over to the right and then climb away at speed, at least from our perspective.
Okay, we're passing that on there. Thank you.
Meteor or another object making some kind of re-entry. Appears to be multiple objects following the same sort of trajectory. Very bright from where we were.
Okay, that's copied.
Glad it wasn't just me.
That's fucking awesome, dude. This is what I love about this is that just like in Europe, which seems to be more of the temperament over there, is that they more directly will investigate these. So the Irish Aviation Authority jumped right in, saying they're going to investigate under the normal confidential occurrence investigation process, which is very interesting. The thing that points towards pilot objects, which is what they say in this article as well, is that there were two and they moved in the same exact trajectory as if they were paired. What they were trying to say, one of these aircraft experts told the Irish Examiner that the lights possibly were meteorites entering Earth at a low angle. The high speeds were the result of acceleration caused by Earth's gravity. The bright lights were probably the result of friction as the celestial bodies pierced Earth's atmospheres, like a cock going into an ass.
Are you going to put that in your official MUFON report? Is that how you're going to describe it?
VIP member number 27035 can do whatever he wants if I'm filling out the reports. That's how it goes.
Okay.
But the way they said is the veering. It's the shit of coming into the galaxy and then the two of them pulling up. They pulled up and out. They moved. So in the end, it's causing enough. If you've got these people, they see this shit all the time. They've seen airbound bodies. They know what flies are an aerial phenomena. They have it in their brains because it's their job. They're looking at it. Like I know the difference from driving the highways enough between this a skunk all mangled, like a skunk's guts, and a dog's guts. Because tell is that there's more guts in a dog.
Absolutely. Well, depending on the size of the skunk, I guess. So, yes. So it appeared to be multiple objects following in the same trajectory. That doesn't seem to align itself very well with some of the theories that it's not a UFO. According to Harvard astronomer Jonathan McDowell, this interaction happened on Twitter when this dude, Patrick O'Brien. I love when Irish people have Irish names and then I feel like that's good. Yes. Like everything's right with the world. Yes. Patrick O'Brien tweeted out this. He says, Know of any satellites re-entering that this could have been. And then he says cheers because he's Irish and you have to end every tweet with cheers.
Yes.
And then Jonathan McDowell says nothing space related that I know of. That's a Harvard astronomer, ladies and gentlemen. You're telling me he's wrong? Well, then you have an institution to scream at.
Yeah, you want to go scream at Harvard? That sounds like fun. I'll come with you. But a part of but they do go to a lot of thick school. And a lot of that thick school makes your brain big. And when your brain's big, you got all these extra lobes for facts.
Yes, absolutely. But McDowell himself has pointed out in the past there are literally thousands of objects whipping around Earth, which we hear that all the time. And that's like horrifying.
Yeah.
Isn't that just a little bit scary? All of these objects are just out there. It's just a matter of time until one of them just pings us a little bit, and then God knows what happens.
You're dipping your toe into true existential dread, which is the problem is that if you really allow those floodgates to open, if you allow the existential dread French doors to open into your mind, you're fucked. Because we are truly – it is the spinning on a rock thing. It is the flat earth people saying they are fucking – that they are so scared of the idea of the Earth is wildly corkscrewing through the sky. They can't handle it. It drives them crazy. I love to see them on a roller coaster. Just going,
sure. Honestly,
this is not how it's supposed to be.
I could see them on a roller coaster, though, just totally zen. Just be like, yes, just as I expected. Perfect. So apparently there are four major meteor showers that are currently active. That's according to the American Meteor Society, a.k.a. the people who buy all the slacks and all of the, what do you call those, khakis?
Khakis. No, khakis. I mean, khakis, all, let's put a little bit of blame on the bump of the khaki market on Best Buy. Honestly,
of course.
Because that is, there's a lot of khakis being funneled into Best Buy.
Yes, so they say this could be Taurids, which are known to produce bright fireballs in the sky, or it's a UFO, which by definition it is a UFO.
But we're talking about a steady light. It's not like a flare. It's a steady light that comes in, hovers to the side of their plane, which they're talking about, and went zip and zipped up. That's a goddamn meteor.
I love it.
Burp is an official exclamation point on this whole story, because I am sick of this shit. I am sick of being maligned. And also,
why you're not being, yo, honestly, Henry, the alien researcher is the least maligned right now than they've ever been.
I'll put
because
it,
people are starting to take it a little bit more seriously.
Let me read just the segment from the Washington Post thing that makes me fucking really mad. All right.
Okay.
The confused person on the radio was not someone typically associated with dodgy reports of extraterrestrial interaction. There were no claims that large-eyed green men crossed the cosmos to turn livestock inside out, or too detailed, breathless tales about cold metal tables and undignified alien probes. Oh, and then they also use, oh, so should we put our tinfoil hats on now? I hate it. So triggered.
All right.
I'm very sensitive.
I know. Well, there has been a lot of reports coming about UFOs in the recent years. So who knows, Henry? You're real close to getting abducted. Keep on sleeping face down, butt up, and they're going to grab you one of these nights right out of that apartment of yours, and you're going to have a – well, I don't know what your night will be like, but
I tell you what,
you might like it.
I always sleep in the seductive triangle position just so that someone will come and scoop me up with a coat hanger just through my asshole.
All right, so it's just a matter of time, Henry, until you discover an alien, and they're going to be impressed with you.
I feel that if there was going to be an ambassador, I could be not as embarrassing as people would expect me to be.
I love it. All right, well, let's move on. Now, this story, somebody sent this to me on Instagram, and I hadn't really heard about this before. It's a bit of an older story. This past Monday marked 29 years since the death of Bruiser Brody. Now, who the heck was Bruiser Brody, you might ask?
He was a
professional wrestler. He was 6'8", 280 pounds, which makes me sad because I actually weigh more than him, and I am only 6'7". He was a true inventor of the brawling style, and his wild man character helped lay the groundwork for what would later become hardcore wrestling. So this guy is really a godfather of like ECW and things like that.
Okay.
So this dude wrestled all across the U.S., including WWF, huge star. He was literally huge in Japan, and that's where he formed a dominant tag team with fellow hard hitter Stan Hansen. So why is this story interesting? Well, it turns out he was doing this he was working a match with Lex Luger way back in the day. Halfway through the match, he stopped working. And what that means is you just stop selling, and that means you basically just don't react when the person hits you. You don't pretend like that's really powerful. Oh, my God. You just kind of stand there like an oaf. So suddenly, no selling Luger's offense and refusing to cooperate with Luger or the referee. So something was going on. Now, on July 16th, 1988, Brody was set to compete in Puerto Rico for the WWC, a promotion owned by Puerto Rican legend and WWE. I have to say WWE. I'm going to say WWF, Hall of Famer Carlos Colon. So Brody arrived at the stadium. And what happened was a lot of tension was going on in the locker room, and Brody was sitting along this alongside this dude Jose Gonzalez, and what happened was this is according to Dutch Mantel. He says, "I've always been able to feel tension in a dressing room, and boy, I felt it heavy that night." Then he also says, "But I couldn't place it. I didn't know where the tension was coming from." Then Mantel left the dressing room, and when he returned 5 minutes later, Brody had been stabbed in the stomach. From the accounts of all the other wrestlers, Gonzalez asked Brody to come into the shower stalls to talk business, which that's not a place to talk business.
That's, if anyone ever tells you, no,
come into the urinal, we got a lot of important business to talk about. That's never a good idea.
No.
So it was common. Apparently that's commonplace, though. I don't know why. I've never really heard of that come into the showers to talk business. That seems very, I want to go down that road of what that could lead to. There's been
Nice to get somebody vulnerable, because really it's about negotiation, right? So in the end, it's like you want a guy with his dick out and his back to you so that you can be right behind him. It's going like whispering in his ear, slitting your lips, touch his earlobe.
I guess so. Well, according to this article, it's commonplace to talk biz in the shower stalls, and apparently it still is, which is quite interesting. Just go out to the parking lot or go to the car anyway. But in the shower stall, instead of talking business, they got into a scuffle, and Gonzalez pulled out a large knife that he had allegedly concealed under a towel. Thank God, because I was wondering, where is he keeping this large knife?
Oh my God.
In the man purse? You know what I'm talking about. Yikes. So he pulled out this massive knife, and then he stabbed Brody. Brody stumbled out of the stall and, in a state of shock, tried to walk out into the stadium. But Savio Vega, who you'll know is a former professional wrestler, stopped him. Brody laid down and waited for help. Atlas, who once was, oh my goodness, this is actually Tony Atlas, who once held the WWE tag titles with The Rock's dad, Rocky Johnson, witnessed the whole incident, and this is what he said. He said, when Brody was lying on the floor bleeding, the guys were just going over their matches like nothing had happened. Brody laid on the floor for about 45 minutes because it was the beginning of the show, and the ambulance couldn't get through the crowd of people. They couldn't lift the gurney to get him on the ambulance, so they said, can any of you guys help? Every wrestler in that dressing room, including American wrestlers, turned their back. When the police asked what happened, everyone in the dressing room said they didn't see nothing. Atlas described how he began to lift Brody. He smiled at Atlas and said, don't drop me, brother. But his injuries were grave. Atlas recalled that Brody had 2 8-inch cuts to his belly. His liver was cut in two, plus his intestines were cut in two, and Brody died from massive internal hemorrhaging and blood loss. So everyone knew what happened. Jesus. And they refused to help this guy for 45 minutes as he just lay there like bubbling blood out and obviously dying, but the performance had started, so they couldn't get the ambulance there. That's a creepy, weird story.
Why is it like this?
I don't know. I have no idea what Brody did to piss everybody off. Maybe it was the no-selling of Lex Luger, and this is how they repaid him. I have no clue.
Is it wrestlers that serious?
Wrestling's very serious, because if you make a mistake, you can kill somebody.
But I wonder, do they believe that that's such an intense a disrespect that they would literally let you die? I know that people take things very seriously. I've seen Twitter, but a part of it's like, I wonder what it's like with something like this. Like, I know that that's so fucked. You just let your buddy die in front of you?
I guess so. And then Tony Atlas was there. I mean, and everyone, Savio Vega, this is a story 29 years old that's never really been solved. And I don't think that this dude got into any trouble. I can't find a follow-up. So, okay, here we go. So what happened?
I imagine also at the time, right? Because this was was murdered?
This is what I – so this is the follow-up on Gonzalez, the dude who stabbed him. Incredibly, Gonzalez walked away and continued to wrestle until 2006. Mantle has claimed the police weren't taking his story seriously right from the start and thought it was just another crazy wrestling angle. So they thought that wrestling angle where somebody actually dies by being stabbed to death. Some blamed a flawed justice system, while others accused the Puerto Rican wrestling community of covering up the truth and intimidating witnesses to protect one of their own. Mantle was supposed to testify at trial, but suspiciously didn't hear from the court until after the trial was finished. This is according to him. He said, I knew the verdict of the trial before I even got my subpoena to appear. With some witnesses seeming to observe a code of silence and others reportedly too scared to testify against Gonzalez, he was acquitted on the grounds of self-defense. So he just wrestled until 2006.
Shit.
That's crazy.
I wonder if there's, because especially at the time, wrestling is now re-blown up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of also now dipping back down. Isn't that true? Where, well, like, it kind of had its renaissance like 3 years ago, and now it's kind of middling?
Well, Well, it's because Vince bought everything, but so like Cody Rhodes and like Ring of Honor, there's other New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're coming up as the WWE because their product is kind of going down a little bit. But other pockets are popping up that are doing pretty well.
But a part of it is that, especially at the time, like what, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, wrestling was not popular. And I imagine, because now we sort of understand, which is truly fucked up about our society, that something like that kind of story would actually ramp up interest in the sport, where people would be like, what the fuck is going on in here?
Yeah.
And so because we're also naturally horny and voyeuristic, we want to see what's fucking weird about wrestling, so we want to get... But at the time, I imagine that they were pretty certain that if he came out saying that someone was murdered in the locker, that it would sink... what was happening with wrestling.
Probably. I mean, but wrestling's really, it really was always popular, especially in places like Puerto Rico and here. I mean, this is like the early 90s. What is it? Yeah, something like that. Or maybe, what is that? What's 29 years ago from today? That's good. We're so old. I don't want to think about it.
I remember when I watched wrestling like in the early 2000s as a kid, every time there was a match, I'd see somebody bleed. Is that at all still happening?
Yeah, they don't cut themselves as much as they used to. That was always really fun when they did that. But
why don't they do the bleeding anymore?
I don't know, because Vince wanted to make it a PG product because his wife ran for Senate, and then they're trying to be like, it's a classy venture, and it's like, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be professional wrestling. But yeah, anyway, so now if you do see blood, it's most likely, well, it's always real blood, but it's most likely caused by a real hit. Not cutting yourself isn't real.
Because they would cut their forehead, right?
Yeah,
thing with the little razor, they would keep it in their band, whatever it is, of their pants.
Well, yeah, they put it under a little piece of tape, and then they take the tape off, and then they poke themselves a bunch right where it bleeds on your forehead. So it doesn't actually, it bleeds a lot, but it doesn't cause that much actual damage. You just want to hit a vein up there. And that's what happened with Stone Cold and Bret Hart in that match, the I Quit match. And then Austin didn't quit. He passed out from the blood. But so in that match, it made all the difference, because without the blood, it just wouldn't have looked as awesome.
That's the idea. Blood makes it super fucking. That's what fucking black metal understood.
Oh yeah,
they understand the we like the visual of the intensity.
Yeah.
So this is a story, very fucked up story. That is, first of all,
okay,
that's horrible. You never hear this in baseball. They just kill their families. Not baseball. More football. Football to kill their family.
Yeah,
baseball.
As a matter of fact, Ray Carruth, he just got out of prison, a former Carolina Panther. I think he did 19 years. He murdered his wife, and she was pregnant, and then the kid was born, and the whole thing is a...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be playing anytime soon. That's for sure. He aged out, number one, and then with the... Yeah, but he really...
You know what's a good sport for him? Golf.
Could be.
Get all this time, all those hours alone.
Yeah.
So this is a story about a man. Now this is a very twisty turny story. This is one of those where it's like, it's obviously, it is very sensationalistic up top, but as soon as you peel the top layer back, there's a bunch of weirdness in this that I also have a lot of questions of our listeners. The mother of an Australian man who died after injecting his scrotum with silicone as part of an inflammation fetish confronted his American bondage master in an episode of this show called The Project. It is very, very compelling footage that I found on the website of the Toronto Sun, if you look it up. And so this young man, Jack Chapman, he died of what was called a silicone embolism, where he was forced to by apparently, which was he had a master pup relationship with a man named Dylan Heffertepen, who is he belonged to him via contract. There was a part of he is known on Instagram as Noodles and Beef. If you look up hashtag noodles and beef, there's a lot of shit in there. And basically, Dylan...
Wait, hold on. So, and I am not laughing. This is very
you are
sad.
Laughing. Yes.
I am not. Okay, yes. But is it... Okay, so I'm just... Is it? So Jack was
Jack
known as
Chapman.
He was known as Pup Tank.
Pup Tank.
Okay. And then his master's was noodles and beef.
Dylan Heffertepen. Heffertepen. And that he... Oh, so...
So Pup Tank... Pup Tank is owned by contract by Noodles and Beef.
Yes.
And Noodles and Beef, now did he request
him,
Pup Tank
so,
put silicone in his balls?
From what it seems to be, if you look at pictures of Pup Tank, who had to legally, forced to buy his master, Dylan Heffertepen, to change his name to Tank Heathcliff Chapman. So he changes to Heathcliff as well. He was forced to by his master to adhere to a contract that he had set up where one of these things is that all will belongs to master. All physical accommodations of said pups must be met to by with satisfaction by the master. It's a gigantic contract, very, very intense contract where he made – it was – if you look at pictures of Dylan Heffertepen – and you see his pup group. It's five huge dudes within the bear community. Dylan Heffertepen also was a little bit of an actor. And he was in a web series about bears that's also very, very intense. It's very and what he wanted his pups to have was very, very, very big balls.
Okay.
And you would also force them out to look like him.
Okay, but now if you are they're pups. So by definition, they shouldn't have really large balls, right? So there's a confusion there.
This is what his vision was. This was his vision.
How did he get? Okay, how did he get five guys? And look at the pictures of these guys. I mean, these guys, they're not that it matters because we talk about professional wrestlers getting abused all the time, but they are big dudes.
They are very, very big dudes, and he made them bigger.
How did he get five of them to be his pups?
I will say this. This is kind of what I want to ask our listeners. Those of us that are actually in sub-dom relationships know that there is a part of this, I guess, that is very, I mean, from what I've read, this is very normal from what I've read. I'm not doing this. I don't know the rules. All right? Right. I'm trying to understand that it can be a part of life that people do this. Right?
Sure.
And so, he had his group. A part of it is that they get sexually turned on and they like being a part of this, what he called a polyamorous family. He made this family so they all wanted to serve the master equally. But the problem is that some of them, it looks like Pup Tank went and got his balls filled up way, way, way too much. And according to Dylan Heffertepen, if you watch the horrible video of Jack Chapman's mother and him have a confrontation, and it's brutal because he just died and Dylan Heffertepen didn't tell them that he was in the hospital doing all this stuff and fucking Noodles and Beef, his whole thing, who is Dylan Heffertepen, Noodles and Beef is saying, I never asked him to make his balls that big.
I see. You know,
so
it
that's
does
his
remind
defense.
Me. Did you ever see, and I don't know why I reference this movie more than anyone probably in the country, Desperate Living, the John Waters movie. I watched it at a very formidable age growing up because Queen Carlotta's on the cover, and I thought there was something saucy about that. But there's a scene in Desperate Living. Again, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's one of John Waters' more disturbing films, but it's kind of fun. There's a scene where a woman is in it's a lesbian relationship, but the woman isn't a lesbian. And so she says, I just wish you had a penis. And then the woman goes and has a surgery done to get her a big penis. And then she comes back and then the lady's like, I didn't really want you to get a big penis. And then she cuts the penis off with a pair of scissors. So anyway, it's kind of like that.
It's kind of like that. You know what his story is? It's about an abusive relationship. You can be in a sub-dom relationship that does not move into abuse. The whole point is to create a system from what I've read.
Right.
You're supposed to have a back door. You have to be able to get out. You have to be able to say at some point, hey, I love being your doggy. I'll lick your feet all day long, but I'm starting to feel like my wants and needs are not being honored.
Sure.
Or I'm starting to feel that I am in danger. And the problem is that it looked like Jack Chapman truly fell in love with Dylan Heffertepen, and he ran it through. Like, he basically ran him all the way to the end, and then unfortunately, tragically, he died. But a part of it is that must be that the getting off of signing the contract. All of these steps make life so spicy, and it shows us in these, like, little normal relationships that we have is, like, we're missing out on all the thrills of involving a lawyer.
Well,
and I just involved a lawyer in my relationship, and I'll tell you what, it's fun, but that's the part that's the most unsexual for me.
Sure. Well, maybe we haven't met our own Noodles and Beef yet. Also, this is what makes this guy even worse. There's really nothing that could make the guy worse. Although, again, this guy did inject his balls with silicone. He went to the doctor. He did that. Although, I don't even know. I want to ask you that question in a second. If you know that answer, did he go to a doctor or he just do this himself? But before Pup Tank died, he left $200,000 in inheritance to I'm just going to call them noodles and beef.
Yeah.
So the guy took $200,000 from the guy before all of this even happened. So this guy is really horrible.
This guy is, I mean, what is the difference between this guy and a cult leader? I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't really. This is the part of it where you could see people. He was obsessed with making all of the men in his community look just like him. And
right.
These men who fell in love with this personality, sort of, I don't know if it's a, I don't know if it's even consent anymore. If you're in this Tom Sub relationship, the whole point is that sexually you are agreeing to this arrangement and you will be the master. You will be allowed to be mastered by another dude. So the problem is that what do you do in that gray area between like he's telling you to do shit you're not supposed to, you don't want to do or you know is going to kill you and then all of a sudden you're stuck in it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because it's a very, very sad story of an abusive relationship.
Yes.
But it's got big swinging nuts in it. His balls were so big.
I don't know if they were swinging after they were injected with silicone. But
did you see the pictures of his nuts?
No, I actually missed that. No, where did you see the pictures of his nuts?
They look like he stole brioches from the grocery store. But his mom was so heartbroken because she sits and watches it, and it was the truth. She was like, when my son went to America, because he was, I believe he is Australian.
Yes.
He was Australian. And she was like, when my son went to America, he was normal. Or the way she described him is, he was the giant that sat silently in the back of every room, watching and watching. That's how she described him, which is very, very ominous.
Very weird.
Silent giant.
It's very ominous. But then she got very, very sad because she was like, he went looking normal, and then he just started getting fucking jacked, wearing that chain with the fucking chain link around him with the big fucking, what's it called? What's the channel lock?
Oh, I see. Interesting. Well, according to this article, they do call it a cult fetish scene, and it was spearheaded again by noodles and beef. So there it is. Well, who knows what'll happen? We'll keep you following. We'll follow up on that story to see what goes on with noodles and beef.
I'll tell you what, though. Noodles and beef sounds delicious. I love stroganoff, man.
I
could see how he funneled it in. I could see how it got people locked in to the cult because you kind of expected a bunch of egg noodles and saucy beef all over it.
Oh, of course, naturally.
That's one of my mom's. That's one of my favorite meals that my mom makes.
Oh, it's one of the best.
She makes that roast beef and they get all the brown gravy mixed in with all the sauce.
So
pressure cooker.
My. Well, I do love beef stroganoff. Yeah, it's really and it's a funny name. It's a funny name when you're a kid. It's kind of a funny name even when you're nearing 40. Beef stroganoff. All right. So this is the worst person of the week in my opinion. A Florida principal allegedly stole $900 from a 9-year-old student who has some mental disabilities. A Florida elementary school principal was arrested after allegedly stealing $900 from this student. That's according to police. On October 22nd, an unidentified 9-year-old student brought $2,100 to his classroom from home.
Why?
Well, we don't know. Again, he's got some challenges, so perhaps he just thought this was a good idea.
How did he get that much cash?
Well, we'll find out. Staff and administrators counted the money and placed it in the desk of Principal Edward John Abernathy for safekeeping. So this guy just got $2,100 in his desk. He's like, okay, yeah, you just put it here. Everything will be fine. The following day, Abernathy allegedly told his staff he would take care of the situation. 3 days later, the student's parents realized their child had taken the money to school, and the boy's mother went to Abernathy's office to get it back. On the way back to her car, she realized $900 was missing. So
that's pretty standard. I'm looking this up. The principal can take a solid 43% of any cash. That's off the top. That's a percentage
the
principal can just get. Yeah.
This guy is horrible. So after staff and administrators confirmed the discrepancy, the mother filed a police report. The following day, law enforcement interviewed Abernathy, who allegedly changed his story about the money several times. At one point, the police report alleges Abernathy said he moved the money from his desk to a shelf and suggested a student might have stolen it from there.
But yeah, who knows what happens when you're moving money from the desk to the shelf? That's like a big gap. You don't know what's going to happen in that 5-6 feet.
But
you don't know what's going to happen.
This is a funny thing. But police said the shelf, which was about 6 feet high, would be difficult for an elementary school student to reach. Abernathy agreed with police and said, That would be a bit of a reach. He was arrested Thursday and charged with one count of grand theft of less than $5,000, but he posted bail. This guy is the principal equivalent of Chris Farley's character in Billy Madison when he eats all of the lunch sandwiches. When he eats all the bag sandwiches, they're like, who the hell would eat 50 bag sandwiches? A guy like this, Abernathy, I'm going to say, worst person of the week.
I'm going to call right now. Mr. Principal Man has a bit of a drug problem. I'm going to call right now that he's got a drug problem. I'm going to call that he's got either a gambling problem. There's something that's come from the back. Because just to take $900, because first of all, someone's going to know that $900 is missing out of $2,100. It's 43% of the money. It's not $100. It's not skimming it. You know what I mean? It's not all of it. Because to be honest, he should have just took all of it and just said there was a fire. Like, he could have just made it up.
Sure.
$900 seems to me like a guy going like, yeah, I could just take this thing. People, this goes missing all the time. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, rubbing his nose and like, you know, like licking his lips and shit like that. He's got a fucking problem.
Okay, I could totally see that. I could see a coke problem in this guy's life right now. But I just think that's sad. I don't know where the kid got the $2,100. Maybe it is a very wealthy family and they just kind of leave money around or whatever it is.
They fucking bank robbers? Who's leaving $2,100 in cash? Just around.
I'm not quite sure, but you gotta, you know, leave this 9-year-old kid alone. You know, that's what I say.
That poor kid. He got taught a terrible lesson. Never trust fucking authority. It's hard that he had to learn it that way, but you know, when it comes down to it, that's what you fucking know. And I tell you what, I would never give my fucking, I wouldn't give my money to a police officer. I wouldn't let anybody touch my fucking, I got $2,100. That should strap to my fucking leg.
Oh, absolutely. So Edward John Abernathy, not good, my man. Come on. Give the kid $900 back. He's got to go buy a bunch of fun stuff. I don't know what kids buy anymore, but I'm sure fun stuff.
That's the kind of crime that I wish we'd go back to, like, public spankings. I wish that was the kind of crime that he could be tied to a post and a man with the big old-timey judge's wig comes out and fucking hits him with a plank a bunch of times and be like, are we embarrassed? Are we embarrassed? Like, I think that would be pretty sweet. Also, I want to quickly do, because we got to leave, we're going to be wrapping this episode up, but I want to quickly go over the Church of Satan's comments about the Satanic Temple recently sued the Killing Adventures of Sabrina over the use of their design of their Baphomet statue.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the Satanic Temple is a very serious group of people that they are more of the political arm of the Satanism movement. And they are very, very upset because they feel that their Baphomet statue was co-opted by Netflix. But the Church of Satan decided to come out. But what we kind of feel like, we even said this privately to ourselves, it seems to be a little not metal.
Yeah,
To sue somebody over this.
You know what it reminded me of? When Lars sued Napster.
Yes.
I'm like, it's okay. It's like, all right. Thank you, Lars. We have it. Thank you for defending the little man. But you don't actually care.
I would definitely put the TST in the Lars Ulrich world of the paranormal and the occult. Like, I would say that they are the Lars Ulrich of that world. But it's interesting because they're obviously fight back and forth. But the Church of Satan made a very pointed rebuttal to the TST's action. They wanted to come out and say something. Because remember, they're also, I am just without comment putting this out there because I know both sides, the COS and the TST, fight quite a bit because people do not like the legacy of Anton LaVey. So we'll go through this.
Oh, I see.
We're going to get some angry comments from both sides. Okay. Somebody's going to be upset about this because everybody's very upset. But I think it's fun to watch.
They have more in common than not in common, I would think. Okay, I don't know. Okay.
Recently, the Satanic Temple has filed a lawsuit against Netflix over a depiction of the symbolic deity Baphomet in their series Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. As a significant number of people seem to be confusing this with us, we would like to clarify that TST is a political activist group that has nothing to do with us, nor with the religion of Satanism, which we founded over 50 years ago. Hmm. The Church of Satan has not filed a suit against Netflix, nor do we have a problem with their Sabrina show, which we've previously discussed.
Okay.
Netflix built their own Baphomet sculpture for their show, which obviously references the TST version, but also references numerous public domain versions. Differing details in the chest, wings, beard, head, and so on make it clear that the Netflix version is not an exact copy of the TST version, rather a situation of fair use of public domain and popular cultural imagery.
Okay.
To reiterate,
While TST is known for childish PR stunts such as fake political rallies, mailing cum rags to Congress, and rubbing genitals on gravestones to turn people gay after their deaths, these actions are not in any way representative of the apolitical, individualistic, and atheistic religion of Satanism. Please All do right. not attribute their actions to us.
All right, atheistic religion, quite a conundrum there, but it interesting. Is, I would say
I
this.
Think it's fun. If anyone it's not can, a religion. It's a lifestyle. I always
It's a religion.
This.
It's it a is, religion.
We will talk about this again and again, and we're being coming up. I don't want to talk about the episodes we have coming up because I don't like busting it, but we're going to be having this discussion on a very soon episode of Last Podcast on the Left.
Yes.
And it's about, it is a lifestyle. It's a position. It's like essentially, it's a political position. You're saying it. A true Satanist does not believe in God or the All devil. Right.
Well, I will say this. The only people that should be suing or even thinking about suing this Sabrina show is Melissa Joan Hart.
Why are you leaving her out? Leaving her out of this?
Is this not Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Is it totally different? Is it
something else. I don't know.
Why did they use the same name?
Natalie was watching it. I watched about 5 minutes of it, and it's not for me. I can't handle that. I can't handle Riverdale. It's not for me. None of it's for me. Drama. You know what it is for me? And you guys should fucking check out Haunted on Netflix.
Haunted. Okay. I'll check
very
that
Very fucking
out.
Good. Very, 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 very good.
I'm looking at the Church of Satan's Twitter account. They're, and most of what they're tweeting is correcting people on the use of your...
Okay, good. Yes. Well, that's a very
ornery people.
It's pretty dark, pretty metal.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing like good
they
old
very...
punctuation oh, shaming. All right, everyone.
They need a Coke and a smile.
Yep.
You remember that?
I know. Yeah, good cocaine drink, a beverage. No, Coca-Cola beverage.
Coca-Cola.
Not cocaine. Although they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola. That's why it's called Coca-Cola.
Let's go back. Revert back. We get those new ones. All Coke. I want to first say we have in L.A. in Southern California, we're doing No Nude Dudes again. It's a clothing drive. We're trying to get clothes. I mean, it's mainly for men only because it's not mainly for men. It can be for anybody, but we focus on men in the title because actually there's not as many male clothes donated to charities. It's more so female clothes, which is interesting. But we're accepting clothes of all types at various locations in Southern California, the Hyena Gallery in Burbank, Bigfoot Lounge in Glendale. And I believe we have a couple other popping up. So check out if you got clothes and you're in that area and you want to drop them off. Fucking go drop them off. We're going to randomly select two people. Randy select one person to get two tickets to the VIP section for Last Podcast on the Left.
Awesome. So and again, if you want to help out with those horrible California wildfires, this is a solid charity from my little bit of research, disaster@calfund.org, or give them a ring at 213-413-4130 because it's devastating what's going on out there. So give a little if you can. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We had a great time in D.C., in
Holy
Austin,
shit.
In Dallas, and in OKC. Man, we had a whirlwind of a week. Oh, yeah. We are all sick now. It is.
We did well. Maybe we need like a health coach. We need somebody on the road when we do these things. Somebody give us juices or something because we just drank. Because there was a point where I think it was like the third day in where I was like, really, the only way you do this is you got to keep drinking because you don't want it to come down and you want to deal. You don't want to deal with any of that mess. This is smart. That's smart.
Yep. You got to deal with all that on a Monday.
On Monday.
On Monday.
I am dealing with it, and it sucks. Future Henry is not happy. Right. I wanted to say thank you to the people who gave me that Moldavian wine in D.C., which is pretty good, and also that Lambic beer. Whoever gave that to us, it was delicious.
I love it.
I believe we got that in Dallas, incredible. That place was incredible.
Yes,
also, if you want to, please check out Trollville On Demand. It's on there. You just type it in, Trollville On Demand. You can see it.
All right, Trollville On Demand. We got a bunch of exciting things coming up, so we'll all see you soon.
You get out there. Make sure you sit, you lie, and you sleep. That's my message for the week.
I love it. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Triple L and hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Hey, Side Stories listeners, this is Henry Zebrowski. You may recognize me. I'm the host of this podcast along with the other fucking monster, Ben Kissel. And I'm here to tell you about Trollville, a new series brought to you and created by me,
Natalie Jean, and Sinica's Navi. This show is about what happens when you take an internet troll and you watch his online behavior slip into his real life and see how does that change him. Is he ready to join society? We've made this project with a lot of love on our own dime. I'm really hoping you guys will enjoy it. It's $1.99 per episode and $5 for the entire series. It's over 50 minutes of my body jiggling back and forth. We're really, really proud of it, and we hope you guys can check it out. It's on Vimeo. The URL is vimeo.com/ondemand/trollville. Again, that's vimeo.com/ondemand/trollville, which is troll as in pieces of troll, and ville, V-I-L-L-E. Please check it out. I think it's a fucking masterpiece for my sweet slippery fingers. Hail Satan.